quite the song choice. Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Matt Issa is going to be there to talk some Milwaukee Bucks at 10 a.m. It is Mitch flying solo today. You're not going to want to miss it. As always, Mitch does a wonderful job in that conversation, talking all things Milwaukee Bucks as we get closer and closer to the playoffs with Matt. Should be a must listen. Speaking of must listens, we've got Rob Rieger, Pack-A-Day podcast, NFL draft expert. You can find him on social media at NFL Draft Riegs. Rob, it is great to be back chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Andy. Thank you so much for having me back. I have so much. I'm about to explode here. So much knowledge, hopefully, to drop on the audience out there and give them some background. There's been so much going on and so much swirling in the air. So can't wait to get back into it.
It is a wonderful time of year. It is officially April. We're officially in draft season. It's a little bit even extra added to it with the draft being held in Green Bay. We're going to be talking, obviously, a lot of draft over the course of this month, and really kind of wanted to kick things off with you today to have you drop some of that knowledge, as you mentioned. Before we get into all the draft stuff, obviously, Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst talking at the league meetings the past couple days. One of the big things has been the conversation about the tush push. Just curious your thoughts. Obviously, the Packers are the ones that have proposed this change in the rule or ban, if you will. Where do you come down on the conversation, and what do you think will get done with that rule?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, my opinion, and I know, obviously, being a Packer fan and being kind of the victim of the tush push, I personally kind of agree it's not a football play to me. I feel like it's an unfair advantage to have offensive players push offensive players, and it's creating kind of, it's almost like, I look at it this way, that it's sort of like playing tug of war, but there's like 10 guys on one side and like five on the other, and they're trying to, pull the rope over the line. So, I mean, I think it's gotten like way too much play, to be honest with you. It's a play that doesn't happen that often, but if I had to vote on it, I'd probably vote against it.
Yeah, I'm mostly indifferent. Whatever happens, happens. I hate that the Packers are the ones that are sort of attached to the rule, but it is what it is. We'll see if it gets any traction. It sounds like it's not. It sounds like it's probably going to stay, and it gets tabled for later, at least via the news and rumors this morning. But you never know. These things can change on a whim, and we'll get the final results at some point. We'll obviously talk about those when we get those final results. But I do want to talk a lot of draft with you, Rob. And I want to start by asking, I think, a relatively simple question, but I think it's an interesting one nonetheless. In your opinion, what do the Packers need to do in this draft? Not what they would like to do, but what they absolutely need to do coming out of this draft.
Okay, so you're going to have to bear with me for a second on this one. I promise you I have a point, and it's going to happen quick. So last week I did something that I've never done in my life, okay? I did something called a cold plunge. And I don't know if you're familiar with this, but I went last week, and my wife talked me into it. And it's when you sit in this water that's like 32.6 degrees, and then you go down into the water and you stay into that water as long as you possibly can, and you get out. Now, the point of a cold plunge, there's plenty of benefits out there, and one of the points of the cold plunge is to kind of like restart your system, kind of like reinvigorate your system, kind of like a jump start to your organs, your body, and it's kind of like a shock to the system that leads to all these medical benefits I'm not going to get into now because we're not a medical show. So I was thinking about when you told me about this question, I'm like, you know what? What the Packers need to do, and Brian Gutekunst specifically, he needs to do a cold plunge. He needs to do a draft cold plunge. And what I mean by that is when he first got the job, he was bold. He went all in. He's trading back in round one. He's trading back up, to the front of the round. He's picking up extra first-round picks in the future. He's picking Jair Alexander. He's turning into a star player, second contract. I'm talking just at the top of the draft. And he's doing these bold moves right out of the gate. His first time ever as being a GM. Second year, he's picking Rashawn Gary. He's picking other first-round picks. He's taking bold chances. He's signing four free agents in 2019. They get to the NFC Championship. 2020, the boldest move of all, picking Jordan Love, a quarterback, when you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. These are bold, shocking moves. I think everybody was like, wow, this is incredible. And then it feels like to me that he kind of got into like a mode where he was a little bit more complacent, where, if you look at the last couple drafts, or last four since 21, he's picking guys that are like supreme athletes, high RAS scores, high athletic scores. And then what he's doing is he's taking guys from major universities. Okay, so I feel that he went into high floor mode with his draft philosophy, where it's like, oh, if you pick a 9.8 RAS guy and he went to Georgia, how bad can he be? He played in the SEC. How bad can he be? And I feel like it got away, and you're looking at the results. You're seeing that the first-round picks are not performing up to, you know, maybe the level that, you know, I think most fans would like, at least at this point in time. And I feel like the Packers need to kind of go back and do that cold plunge. I feel like Goody has to go in and make a bold move, whether that's trading up for an impact player. Maybe that's after you pick a 23, moving back into the first round and picking a second player that can come in and make an impact. Maybe it is trading a Jaire Alexander. Maybe his time is done with the team. So I feel like this is kind of that year where we're in Jordan Love's third year as a starter. You know, we kind of get a feel for what's going on there. We have a bunch of B and C players on our team, and it's time for us to kind of like take that extra step, not just sit back at 23 and pick, but go after maybe that guy with a really high upside but is coming off an injury, or a guy, something like that. But I feel like the cold plunge is necessary.
I like the idea of the cold plunge. I like, you know, getting things jump started. It does feel like Goody is going to have to be a little bit creative to kind of maybe come away with what they need to do in this draft, whether that is a wide receiver, a big time pass rusher, whatever it might be. In order to do that, you might need to move up, or you might need to, you know, maybe in the early in the second round, do something similar to what they did when they traded up for Christian Watson. I'm very intrigued to see how he attacks this draft overall. And we'll see if he does do something a little bit more bold and spicy than maybe what we've seen over the course of these past couple seasons. How would you say, or what would, maybe in an ideal world, how would this draft play out for the Packers with their specific needs, maybe looking at whether it be corner, defensive tackle, defensive end, offensive line, wide receiver, however you want to look at it? How would you see this draft playing out for Green Bay?
Well, the good news, I mean, there's definitely good news in here. That's the fact that the Packers do have a needle on the defensive line, and the defensive tackle position and the edge position are both really stacked in this draft. So it kind of aligns from a need standpoint. So I'm not sure, and Goody did allude to it yesterday, and I, you know, listened to you and how your interpretation of it. Now it's kind of, you know, it's smokescreen season right now. He's like, well, we're not gonna reach for an edge just because of that. I think the Packers can wait on edge. I really do. I feel that, you know, they can maybe pick up a guy in the third and fourth round. The other thing to keep in mind is, let's be real, they've picked at edge two years since 2019. They've picked top half first round picks, edge rushers, and here we are in 2025, and we still need edge rushers. So they haven't been ultra successful at doing that. So maybe it's time to pick a different route on this. But these positions are stacked. Defensive line is stacked. My take on cornerback, and that's kind of why I'm leaning towards wanting them to take a cornerback in round one, is I feel like there's about six starters on the cornerback position. But after that, there's kind of a shelf. And then after that shelf, I feel like there's all into like developmental type guys, maybe some good athletes that haven't had the success. So I'm kind of leaning at 23 for like a corner. There's like about six starters. Offensive tackle is another thing that we haven't talked a whole lot about, but I feel like it was obvious that if the Packers were convinced that Rashid Walker was the answer at left tackle, they probably would not have drafted Jordan Morgan last year, because everybody said that he was that was the guy. Like, we want him to play left tackle. That didn't work out, so they moved him inside, but the original plan was to play him at tackle. And they're going to have to make a decision on Walker pretty quickly, you know, as far as, like, is this guy going to be our future or not? So I feel like there's about five ready-made offensive tackles in this draft, too. So it kind of aligns with that whole 23.
We're being joined by Rob Rager, Packaday Podcast. You can find him covering all things NFL Draft on social media as well, at NFL Draft Regs. We, of course, are live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. All right, so let's talk about some of those options. Green Bay currently sits at pick 23. Let's say they do not get bold and spicy and move up or move down, and they just stay at pick 23. You mentioned maybe corner, offensive tackle. Who are some options that could be there for Green Bay that maybe could fit some of those needs?
So if they do decide to go to Ed Rusher, there's two names that stand out to me. It's James Pierce out of Tennessee and Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M. I personally, on my rankings, like Pierce a little bit better. I know that a lot of the draft industrial complex seems to favor Stewart a little more. I feel like Pierce is a little more explosive off the ball, his first step. is a little quicker. Stewart came in a better athlete, but when I watch his film, he doesn't really he doesn't seem like he's being shot out of a cannon. I mean, maybe it's something they need to work on with him about his first step quickness, but James Pierce, to me, it would be an excellent choice. Cornerback, there's three names that kind of in that 23 range stand out. There's Trey Amos out of Ole Miss. He's been kind of talked about a little bit. He could step in. Max Harrison out of Kentucky, and then Jahdae Barron out of Texas would be kind of the three guys. Although with the signing of Hobbs, Barron and Hobbs kind of have similar profiles, so I'm not sure about Barron anymore. I used to really think that he was going to be the guy. Now I'm not 100% sure. Defensive tackle, and I think the last time we were on, we talked about that. Derek Harmon and Walter Nolan are the two names that we've been hearing a lot about at that position. And then a couple guys at offensive tackle. Josh Simmons is the guy, and I really like him out of Ohio State. We're talking about a five-star recruit. We're talking about a multi-year starter at Ohio State. He's coming off a torn patellar tendon. So he would be kind of that choice. That'd be a little bit, you know, cold plunge-ish, where he'd come in and there's a little bit of a risk there, but I feel like the upside with him. And I've been hearing, and I don't know what to take from these mock drafts. And actually, you shouldn't take anything from the mock drafts because it's just people throwing, you know, darts at a board. But I've been hearing that this guy, Kelvin Banks out of Texas, has been kind of dropping a little bit. And I'm not getting this information from teams. I'm getting it just from mocks. So take it with a grain of salt. But if Kelvin Banks out of Texas, left tackle, three-year starter, falls to 23, I think we should run and get him.
I love a lot of those options, and I do think a lot of these positions are going to be in play for Green Bay. I think the Shamar Stewart conversation is a very interesting one, and one that I'm sure we'll have on this show coming up in the very near future as well. But I do want to ask you this. Of all those options that maybe you just mentioned, I know you've kind of tracked this over time, Rob, and you like to kind of keep an eye on your guys and who you would have taken. And obviously, we don't know exactly who's going to be there at 23 right now, but maybe who is the guy that you are pounding the table for right now that you are hoping or Crane is going to be there at 23 and that the Packers select at 23 overall?
Well, the guy who was just mentioned, you know, the Kelvin Banks pick, I feel like he would be a guy that we could just slot into left tackle and he could just be the starter, you know, going forward for years. He's a solid player option. And there's a couple upside guys. And like I kind of alluded to earlier with the whole cold plunge thing, I'm big into let's go for it this year. So there's a cornerback out of Michigan, Will Johnson, who hasn't really been talked about a whole lot. He hasn't done a lot of athletic testing. He hasn't been working out. But he's a guy who I feel could be an instant impact player at the cornerback position for us. If he starts to drop a little bit, he starts making into the teens, I would love to jump up and grab him to put in and plug in as an instant starter. Michael Williams out of Georgia is another guy who I feel like his best football is ahead of him. And we're talking about a three-year starter at Georgia, and his best football is ahead of him. Just an outstanding athlete, size, speed, everything. He's right up Goody's alley for the athletic testing, but plus he has, he loves Georgia guys, number one. And number two, I feel like he can come in and make a big impact there. And the aforementioned Walter Nolan, I'm going to keep talking about him until other people start to listen. I feel like one of the biggest things for me, at least personally, is the Packers need impact up the middle. They need guys that can win early. They need guys that can get pressure on the quarterback up the middle. And I feel like Nolan is the type of guy that can come in and do that initially right away from day one.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of the guys that I would really like on that list. I want to go back just really quick to Jahdae Barron, though, because I think you bring up something interesting with them signing Hobbs and whether or not Barron would still potentially be an option for them. I'm kind of starting to lean in the fact that Barron is gone by that point anyway, but I do think that when you start looking at what Green Bay has done in this secondary, I don't want to say it's like a positionless secondary, but I think they almost like this style of corner, guys that can play outside, inside, a lot of zone ability, can even probably, kick back to safety if you need it in a pinch. What Green Bay's done at corner almost makes me feel like they would like Barron more than less, even though that they have a Nate Hobbs already. I think they could play all of those guys outside, all of them inside, you know, kick them back if they needed to. We saw a lot of inverted cover two this past season. I think there would would be a lot of interest there if he was there. Again, whether or not they would go corner and what else would be there would be interesting, but I actually do think that they could potentially still like that at pick 23. We're once again being joined by Rob Rager, Packaday Podcast. You can find him on social media at NFL Draft Regs. All right, a couple other things before we get you out of here. Rob, I know you're working on the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide, which is a must-have for all Packer fans. You've been working on the quarterback profiles. I just want to ask you kind of this in general. Do you think the Packers should be in the business of drafting a quarterback pretty much every year, kind of taking that lottery ticket? And either way, who's maybe a name to keep an eye on that Green Bay could look at on maybe day three of this draft?
Yeah, there's a couple guys. And, you know, yeah, quarterbacks are kind of my specialty. And I just, you know, probably, I don't even know how many hours I spent watching the film of these guys. There's a couple of names. And I'm going to throw out an intriguing concept. And I don't want everybody to spaz and flood the inboxes or everything like that. But there is something going on with the Jordan Love contract where after two more years that there is an out. And it's a pretty easy out, a very soft landing. So if at some point, and I don't want this to happen. With all of my heart, I don't want this to happen. But if somehow Jordan Love does not become the player that they signed him to become, they have an out in 2 years with only a $31 million dead cap, which is really small for a quarterback. There's a couple of guys out there, developmental guys. Brady Cook and Kyle McCord are the specific guys. Brady Cook reminds me a lot of Brock Purdy. He's a guy who played 4-year starter at a big school, ton of playing time, great athlete, 9'7" Raz. That's a name to keep an eye on. If they pick like Brady Cook in like the 5th, 6th round, he could potentially become a guy that could really step in there. Kyle McCord's another guy. He's a starter at Ohio State, went to Syracuse, broke a bunch of records there. I really, really like his game. And the kind of the sleeper pick, and is a guy that I've been kind of had my eye on for a while, but he's fallen off the radar completely, is this KJ Jefferson, who was at Arkansas and a very solid starter for them. Transitioned to UCF last year, was not that great. And he's really not on anybody's radar right now. So he would be a guy that we could pick up very, very late that would in the potential to be like maybe a third or second round pick going into last year. And now it's completely fallen off. But I mean, I don't know what every year. I think if you got a solid backup and, you know, it's a guy that you want to hold on to if you can.
Yeah, no, you know, first of all, taking a guy with the name of Brady in the 6th round, that's maybe worked out a time in the past, so maybe not a bad way to go there. But I know I'm really looking forward to the draft profiles and the Cheesehead TV draft guide, obviously at all positions, but especially with you at quarterback as well, because I do know you put a ton of time into that quarterback position. Rob, what else you got cooking? Anything else you want to plug on the way out? And then tell us a little bit more about that Cheesehead TV draft guide as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even just NFL Draft Reads is where I do kind of a lot of my damage. I'm pretty opinionated on that stuff. So, you know, if you want some spicy opinions, I guess you can come at me. But there's a lot of research done before I throw out those opinions. As far as other things, Cheesehead TV Draft Guide is really kind of the crux. Definitely get it. I do quarterbacks, and probably my favorite thing that I do is I do small school sleepers. So I take guys that maybe are totally off the radar, that people don't even hear of, which is very difficult to find their films sometimes. But I find it. I find a way to get it. There's a couple guys that I profiled on there. Darius Alexander out of Toledo that I feel is going to be a potential sleeper for the Packers. Torrey Horton out of Colorado State, a wide receiver, deep threat, that I feel that the Packers may have a very good chance of possibly getting later on in the draft. Siobhan Revels, a cornerback out of East Carolina. I profiled all three of those guys and really dug into their tapes, and I feel that they could be very, very effective for pros from maybe not the biggest schools out there.
I love that a lot. Those are some of my favorite players to kind of dig into. And you do a tremendous job of it. We'll make sure to check that out. You can find the Cheesehead TV draft guide over on CheeseheadTV.com. Rob, I cannot thank you enough. We will talk to you again soon. I'm sure probably either before or at least right around the draft. And can't wait to talk to you again next time.
Awesome, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you as well. Make sure to again follow him at NFL Draft Regs, NFL Draft Regs, wherever you find your favorite social media channels. You can find us, of course, on the Packaday Podcast as well. And Rob is doing some great work for us on the Packaday Podcast through this draft season as well. This is the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. We'll be right back right after this.